Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, great to have Bruce with us this morning. Bruce, a lot of baseball news. And, of course, it starts off with Trevor Story going to the Red Sox. So what'd you think?
Well, I think, like you, I was kind of holding out hope that the Giants might be able to land him. He'd be extremely valuable, you know, obviously not at shortstop, but second base would be natural. I figure Longoria is not going to be good for 162, and he's just a really good all-around player that the Giants have watched torment them for years. I guess, you know, if you're looking for a hitter's park, you're going to go Fenway over the Giants park, but, you know, it's a heck of a signing for the Red Sox, and it's another big name that the Giants fans had sort of dreamed about, you know, whether keeping Bryant or Castellanos or Suzuki, whatever it was, that who goes somewhere else. And that's, you know, I wouldn't say it's depressing. I mean, this is a 107-win team, and they know what they're doing. So, but other teams are loading up. We know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand not signing him for 6 years and $140 million. I mean, I can see that. First of all, the guy at the right price, if he could play second base and back up third base, it'd be fine. But to put all your eggs in the Trevor Story basket didn't make sense because he's a shortstop, and he's only played shortstop in the big leagues. And the Giants have one right now, and probably their best prospect, and he could be one of the top prospects in baseball, is Luciano.
Yeah,
and he is a shortstop. So what are you really going to do with Trevor Story a year down the road or 2 years down the road?
And what are the Red Sox going to do? I mean, Bogarts is a tremendous shortstop. Is Story going to play second base there, or did I miss something on Bogarts? Or
no, well, Bogarts is there this year, but Bogarts will not be there next year.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I love about Farhan is that he's just not diving into these long-term deals. You know, they can really hurt you in the end. They're great. They can be great at the outset. Sometimes they'll pay off for the whole length of the contract. But he's had a lot of luck signing guys short term. You know, Rodon is a classic example. And I really like that because you don't get weighed down with your payroll, and you know they're still in position to do a lot of things now and in the future. So I just every time I see somebody signing for like 12 years, you know, $1 billion, it's kind of nauseating in a way.
Well, you know, I understand the pitching side because, as I said yesterday, you cannot win without pitching. You may not hit a lot, but if you pitch, you can still win. If you hit a lot and you don't pitch, forget it. You're not going to win. They can pitch. And the guy today, Sammy Long, gets lefties out. He's got his specialty, and they've got a whole staff of guys like that. So they do roll the dice for established players. Maybe some of them are injured, but at least their names on the pitching side. Now, on the offensive side, they haven't done it, and they don't want to block players coming up. Ramos is coming up. Matos is coming up.
Yeah.
You've got Schmidt looks pretty good. You know, he's young at third base, and Luciano at shortstop. So I still feel that they could have used another right-handed hitter because Posey's not there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see why they don't want to get involved, as you say, with a 6-year, 7-year contract with players coming. And I think that's just part of it.
Well, this is going to be a really interesting year to follow the system. Aside from Luciano and Ramos and Matos, they have a kid named Pomares, a Cuban kid who's really caught a lot of attention and had a good minor league season. You know, they've scored heavily in that international draft, and they've got some wonderful talent coming up, and they all sound like they're, you know, exciting players too, fun players to watch, give the team some dynamic elements to go with the stability that they have, and so they're sitting in a good position. You know, they everybody's picking them for third and all this, but you know, we'll see what actually happens.
Well, the big question is, and I said it on Twitter this morning, and great reactions. I'm so happy that people are into baseball and the kind of discussions you and I are having, even at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But what they're doing, what is really rolling the dice on last year's performance, that they'll be able to do it again. And that's really the issue, because you've got age, you know, throughout the infield. You've got really unproven long-term players in the outfield. You lost your Hall of Fame catcher. So yeah. Offensively, that's really the issue for me. They're rolling the dice at Darren Ruff and people like that, and Duggar and Slater will have big years again, and that their system works. That's really the issue of this ball club, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the way Farhan operates, we really don't know who, you know, all the key players are going to be. I mean, is there going to be a Wade or a Tauchman show up, or a kid, right. a hitter like Solano show up? I mean, he's always on the lookout for mm-hmm. players to come in here. And when you do get here, you know, you have to realize that you're probably not going to be down for every day, you know, at all. You could be a platoon, but it's a good system. It works. The coaches know what they're doing, and there's a great track record. It's only 1 year, but it's a hell of a track record, and this is the way they operate. And you know, I'm looking forward to see who he unearths from the depths yeah. of obscurity this year.
Well, exactly, and that's the key on that offensive side. On the pitching side, you recognize the names. On the yeah. offensive side, you go, who? You know, who is that? You know, and that's
yeah.
that's dealing with the fan base, and that's the story with it. Dean was DFA'd today because they did add Matthew Boyd from the
right.
Tigers, and then immediately put him on the 60-day disabled list because he won't be ready until July. So Dean did play yesterday, but he is gone. They got him from the Cardinals. Bruce, a few of the things to talk about as we go through spring, and we didn't touch on it yesterday, but out of the CBA, there are some things that are different about 2022, and one is the DH in the National League. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I've never liked it, and I've always made it a very simple argument that if you play this game, you go up there and hit. It's just so basic. And, you know, you play the field, you go up and hit. Maybe you're a pinch hitter. Maybe you're a bit of a specialist or a pinch runner. But to be in the lineup where you never have a glove, that's just offensive to me. You know, when it came in 73, I started covering ball in the late 70s. It was mostly the A's. And I was never out there at the Coliseum just, you know, seething over the fact that there was a DH. It's still baseball. I mean, the rules are the same, basically. Your lineups change, but the way the game is played is the same. You know, you get a guy like Edgar Martinez or a latter-day Reggie Jackson or whoever it might be, and it's fun to see them act as a DH, and I'm just not going to I would rather try to look at the bright side, you know, who are some of the DH is going to be this year, who are the Giants guys going to be, than just sulk over it. I think it's rough. I think it's the old game is going to be missed as the years go on, I think. But, you know, I just don't look at the game. Whatever the changes are, I always try to look at, look past them and still enjoy it as I always have.
Well, this one is going to be interesting. First of all, the pitchers never hit more than once or twice a game anyway,
mm-hmm.
because you're always, you know, you're in the bullpen right away and you're bringing in relief pitchers, and, you know, there's not a lot of bunting anymore. So
yeah.
really the change will not be that dramatic, but it may keep a pitcher in the game longer if they want to do that. And it does change the game. I'll tell you, you know, in the National League, you had maybe four innings to get some action going. Because the pitcher, the number eight hitter and pitcher was coming up, you'd be working around the eight hitter to get to the pitcher, and are they going to pinch hit? So we won't have that anymore. So there will be a change. What about, and I see they're thinking about putting the ghost runner back at second base for extra innings. Now, I'm not opposed to it, but I would start it maybe in the 11th inning or the 12th
yeah.
innings. Because who needs an 18-inning game? Nobody's up watching it anyway. And if you're at the ballpark, you're there with 2,000 other people.
Yeah.
And it does chew up your pitching staff. So bring the ghost runner back if they're worried about health of pitchers and all the compact schedule. But start it in the 11th inning or 12th inning.
Yeah, I've heard about that would be an adjustment that they make. It's interesting that it's suddenly coming back into play because the players apparently want it to come in. By a substantial margin. You know, the Giants, I think it helps them. They already have a good bullpen with a lot of variety. I mean, Duvall and McGee and Rogers, and it goes on, the guys that can get people out. And if your starter lasts a little bit longer, that only helps them in terms of wearing the bullpen guys out. But it's, you know, most of the time last year when here's the 10th inning and there's a guy on second, it immediately strikes up a conversation. Yep. Do people still bunt anymore? Do you try to hit it out and get a 2-run lead in case the other team comes back? I mean, there's so many things you can do with it. I found it kind of interesting, and I was glad it wasn't there in the postseason. So I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah. I think I could deal with it, but give us one inning of extra innings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I agree with that.
Then do it that way. Now, the doubleheader thing, I'm really glad they changed this. There's a bunch of doubleheaders because of the first week being wiped out. I think there's like 45 doubleheaders scheduled already.
Yeah.
But there'll be 9-inning doubleheaders, and I like that. Thank God.
Now, well,
7
yeah,
innings was not – that was not cool.
No, it's not the old Pacific Coast League. I think the 7-inning doubleheader worked when the pandemic was at a serious stage, because you just didn't want anyone, spending the whole day and into the evening at the ballpark and getting worried about this and that. But you and I and a lot of our listeners, grew up with doubleheaders. It's really a great thing. And it's going to be pervasive this year, and I hope people come around to embracing it. I mean, because the players, the media, the executives, everybody was down on doubleheaders a few years ago. They figured, who needs them? And there were very few of them. But I just one thing for me though, it's one charge of admission with a short break between games.
Yes,
none of this split pricing. That's a joke. We picked the wrong game.
Yeah.
We picked the 11-0 game, and the Giants won 5-4 in the bottom of the 10th, in the nightcap. So one admission charge.
Well, we're dealing with a different attention span now, too, don't forget. You got somebody go to the ballpark for eight or 9 hours as opposed to one game, and I think that's of course, and the money, too, is a big part.
The money is huge, yeah.
Yeah. Always. A couple of things that I wanted to touch on with you this morning. Boy, these spring training shows are too short for us. One of the players who passed this week, part of Giants history, and that's Ralph Terry, who was the pitcher in 1962, who pitched to Willie McCovey with Cepeda on deck, and I'll never understand that. And McCovey, of course, hit the line drive. It couldn't have been 2 feet higher. Would have beaten the Yankees in the World Series in Game 7. But Ralph Terry threw that pitch and also the pitch to Mazeroski. So he has a spot in baseball history.
Oh, yeah. Everybody talks about McCovey and how he scalded that ball. But the fact is Ralph Terry pitched a 1-0 complete game against a team with Mays, McCovey, Cepeda, and Felipe Alou.
Wow, that's a good point.
He shut him out. He also won Game 5, I think, that year. But, I was reading a little bit about him. He's one of the very few guys in baseball history to throw what they call a golden pitch. A golden pitch, it can only be the 7th game of the World Series. It can only be in the bottom of the 9th inning when the road team has the lead. It's a situation where either team could win the series on that pitch.
Okay.
Only 6 times in the history of the game had that ever happened. And Terry became the 7th, and he threw 12 of those pitches.
Wow.
And still, it's kind of an interesting little stat. Of course, he was also involved in a trade that included Billy Martin, Ryan Dern, and Suitcase Simpson. I mean, they had everything but Salahemus in that one.
Really? Well, that's when Kansas City was the farm club for the New York Yankees.
Right.
And just a quick aside on that, Arnold Johnson owned the Kansas City Athletics. He was given the franchise when they moved out of Philadelphia. Who was Arnold Johnson? He was a lawyer for the Yankees. And they said, all right, Arnold, we'll give you the Kansas City team, but you'll be our farm club, okay? And he said, sure.
It really worked out that way. I mean, how many players went that route?
Roger Maris? How about Roger Maris?
Oh, my goodness.
Going
back
and forth. So, yeah. Ralph Terry. Another one on today's date in 1973. It's worth noting, I really think. Roberto Clemente was voted in to the Hall of Fame because the writers waived the 5-year period, of course, with the untimely death on New Year's Eve of that year. 393 votes out of 424. So some people did not want to vote for him.
Well, it was still, though, it was a very radical thing to do, to put him right in. And you know how tradition-minded some of the writers can be, and how they don't really change their personal ways of voting. And I think for that many people, it was an overwhelming vote, and it just speaks to the power of Clemente's presence out there. And you know, with somebody like Harold Baines or Jim Tomey, it's like, yeah, okay, maybe they're Hall of Famers. I don't remember a whole lot outside of a home run here or there. But with Clemente, I mean, my God, do you remember what, the throw, the catch, running the bases? I remember the home runs off Palmer and Cuellar in the 71 series that the Pirates won.
71. 71 was it for me. Yeah. And should have been an MVP in 60, but Dick Groat got it. But a humanitarian and a great, great, great man and a real wonderful representative of Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah.
So that was good. I'm glad they figured that out. Didn't they do that for Kirby Puckett, too? Am I wrong?
I think they did. I was going to say the very first time I ever got to travel with a major league team was I was working for the Santa Monica Outlook in 1972, and the beat writer took a break, and I went to St. Louis, Chicago, and Pittsburgh, and my big memory there is going into the Pirates locker room and seeing Clemente and the presence that he had. He in one of the games, he scalded a home run down the left field line, which just spoke to his majesty. He was known as an off-field hitter. But I'll never forget the look of him, the way the players respected him. I can just see him putting on his white shirt and tying the tie. He was regal. He was a king. It was very special to be around that.
Boy, I love it. Very good. One very quick one before we say goodbye. I said we could do the whole show together. 1934. Babe Didrikson, who's a female, one of the greatest female athletes of all time, great golfer and everything, Zaharis, Babe Didrikson Zaharis, pitches an inning for the Philadelphia A's and got a walk, no hits, and then comes back a couple of days later in spring training, of course. Cards versus the Red Sox, and the Sox got her for 4 hits and 3 runs, but one of the best female athletes of all time, 1934. They let her pitch in spring training.
That's fantastic. You can't really fathom some of the things this woman did. Of course, in those days, you know, girls were discouraged from playing sports, and they might have had all kinds of ability, but they just sort of went other ways because it just wasn't the thing to do. But Babe Didrikson was a track star. She set world records in track. She was a basketball star in her youth. When she turned to golf, she won like 3 U.S. Women's Opens, and she also had a Guinness world record for throwing a baseball. It was in their books for that Babe had thrown a baseball 296 feet. She had the record for the longest throw of a baseball by a woman. So she comes in to spring training and, you know, looks the part. There was a quote from the great Burley Grimes, who was a star pitcher of the day, saying, if she were a boy, she'd be one of the best prospects in the game.
Funny.
In one of those games, she came up to the plate and hit a line drive. It was an out, but she just was an athlete of unfathomable scope.
Wonderful. Yeah, good memory on that. Good stuff. And I remember her as a golfer. And she was a question on Jeopardy about a week or two ago, and no one got it. No one.
Even Andy Baggerly didn't get that one.
Well, Andy probably would have gotten it.
He would have gotten it.
All right. Well, good to chat with you, as always. Just a pleasure. We'll talk with you next week, Bruce.
Great, Marty. Thanks a million.
All right, have a good afternoon. All right. That's wonderful. All right. More coming up. Bill and Carrie will join me. And I want to get their opinions on this Trevor Story stuff and what Bruce and I talked about. And what's the challenge here for the Giants in 2022? Can they do anything else offensively? So we'll kick that around and a lot more right after these messages. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.